With all the stories that matter across the Northwest, it's Greg Hughes on the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio.
All right, we're still looking for you to text in. Tell us where you're watching the game. What do you think will happen? What do you think the score might be? Any interesting events ongoing wherever you are listening or watching with us this morning? 086 60 25,000. Hi, Elaine, Bernie, Kathleen, Noreen, Siobhan and Anne, amongst those watching the show. It's available for you to stream on your phone, tablet, laptop, your smart TV or Fire Stick with the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland, or on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. And we're looking also to answer your questions, your gardening questions. Paul's in with us a little later on. We're also going to be previewing the Mary from Dunlow Festival, that and so much more besides. A caller says, I called my doctor yesterday and I'm paying. I couldn't be seen for 3 weeks. I called the private centre, which recently opened, and was seen 2 hours later. It appears this is the way seeing your GP is going. Unless you're dying, you're not seen, even if they are to send you to the ED. Now, as I say again, sorry to clarify this, it does vary from practice to practice, it seems. Can anyone explain to me why this country is in an outrage for weeks over what are a few pounds with Ryan Tubridy's wages in comparison to the billions the Children's Hospital is costing? I don't see the Minister for Health being pulled before any committees to justify this. What's wrong with this country? How can a project go so overspend with no end date or amount of money in sight? Well, you see, the problem is that, I mean, firstly, to some extent, it's going to be media driven, but also it's the public as well, because there have been numerous committee meetings on the issue of health, on the issue of the Children's Hospital. Like, these committee meetings are available all day, every day. There's pretty much one on in the morning, one in the afternoon, every day they're dull sitting. But the public only tuned in tens of thousands to watch the one relating to RTE, the ones relating to RTE. And your average one probably be lucky if they had 20 viewers. So at the end of the day, I mean, is it the media pushing certain stories, or is it an understanding of what people are interested in? You know, I just find sometimes issues like the Children's Hospital are so overwhelming that people just go, you know what, what else would you expect? Whereas the RT stories, you know, it's controversial, it's a bit sexy, it's a bit slebby, do you know what I mean? And people are more interested in that. So I think that might be a little bit of what it's down to. I think there's part of it's the media, but I think also a big part of it's what the public seem to be interested in. And, you know, in an organization like this, we don't tailor our output for that, these reasons, but you can see what stories interest people on our website. You know, whether it is a particular politician talking in the Dáil, or whether it is a story about, you know, RTE or something else happening locally that people tend to talk about in their kitchens at home, and you can see what has interest and what doesn't have interest. A caller says, the guards can't find out who stole my bike. How the hell will they know where these drugs came from? Well, I presume there are drugs made in certain ways that will be familiar. They're regularly tested, so they probably should have some idea where they come from in terms of catching someone. All off to Fanna then, just south of to do our civic duty. Yes, well, if you find anything, report it. A couple of requests here. Good morning to my sister Anne Sheridan in Sydney. Tuned into Highland for the women's game and loving the buzz in Australia. Coming in from Mary. How are you getting on, Anne? Is that, which Anne is it? We have a few Annes watching. I'm not sure, Anne, if you're watching, say hello to us if you're in Sydney. Ella O'Flaherty's in Buncrana. A very happy birthday, Ella, from Amelia and all her friends. Hope you have a lovely day, Ella, in beautiful Buncrana. All right, we have the bingo numbers for you now. Then we'll be back with our next item on the show. Okay, our next guest, Dr. Kenny Doyle, joins us now. Kenny, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
It's our pleasure. You too. Dr. Doyle, is author of research into fatherhood, caring and gender equality in housework, which has been conducted by the Men's Development Network and Trior. What was the purpose of this research?
The research is actually part of a much larger global research project. And this global project is run by a Washington-based think tank called Equimundo. And globally, this research has been ongoing since 2015. They run a survey every 2 years, and they end up with regional, national, and global reports. So the aim of the research in general is to examine attitudes around care attitudes around the division of household work by gender, and to look at how these are influenced by broader social and economic structures, such as gender norms, work and practices and things like that. For this iteration of the study, we had just over 12,500 people answered it in 17 countries. In Ireland, we had just over 500 people. And this is the first time that Irish data has been included in this survey.
What kind of questions were asked, Doctor?
The questions ranged from how much time a week you spend doing particular tasks. But then there were also a range of other questions around attitudes. So things like, for example, testing gendered attitudes around the typical roles of men and women. So questions like they'd be asked to reply to a statement, a man should have the final say in all matters in the house, and do you agree with this, disagree with this, and so on.
Well, come on, give us the answer. what was the findings there?
Well, for that one, there was only roughly about a third of men agreed with that. Mm. Surprisingly, women strongly disagreed with that, and women were more than twice as likely to strongly disagree with that. I suppose the headline bits of the Irish research are basically around men's attitudes to caring, that it's generally seen as something like 84% of men said it was the most enjoyable thing that they do in their life. And over 2/3 of men said they would consider working part-time to care for their child. And a similar number said that caring for children is worth giving up career opportunities for. Mm. So I would see this as being a fairly large jump forward. Like, if we think that within a generation or two, we've moved from men being the sole breadwinners and women being completely tasked with everything on the home front, so now we have the case where men are expressly expressing that they would like to spend more time at home, that they would like to, if possible, give up career opportunities to look after their children.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of us have to conform to what society has set up to for each gender in particular. You know what I mean? We are in some way, our choices are limited. It's only recently really where we started making inroads in terms of paternity leave and things like that, and the way the world operates and how caring can impact your income or career opportunities. You know, I mean, the world is set up almost to keep us in the lanes that we're in, and this survey shows that, you know, maybe we want to do things differently.
Yeah, like there has been some welcome developments around parents' leave and paternity leave, but there's still massive, massive patches. And I'd agree 100% with what you just said. Like if we look at parents' leave or paternity leave, they're both generally paid at around, I think it's 260 something euro per week. And the Irish Government Evaluation Service estimate that the average take-home pay of a person is 642 euro per week. So for many people, that would mean that you're taking a 2/3 cut in your pay for any parental leave that you take. Now, there are some employers that will top this up, but there's no legal requirement for them to do so. And it's very patchy. Like if you work in an SME, it's far less likely that they will have the means to be able to top up this payment in comparison to, say, if you're working for a transnational tech company or something like that. So it is very patchy. Some places have great paternity leave, some don't. And it's kind of at the minute the luck of the draw, unfortunately.
Yeah, so of the Irish men surveyed, 82% stated that they share caring responsibilities equally. So that's not a desire, that's the way their lives are. 86% stating that they feel as responsible for care as their partners. I mean, that's a huge... I think this is the first time we've fed into this overall research. But I mean, if you go back a generation, I don't know if we have the statistics, but there has to be a big change there in attitudes.
Yeah, there is. It's not really socially acceptable anymore for men to do what people of maybe a generation or two ago would have done, that I go out and earn money. And so when I come in the door, I put my feet up. And I'm not saying that men did that in the past, but it was more acceptable. That isn't the case. Men are now active parents and they're expected to be active parents. And the argument I would make is that it's socially beneficial and personally beneficial for men to be active parents.
Look, I'm sure there's men listening who were, you know, their babies 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that probably felt excluded from the process to some extent as well. Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure there's always been men who would want to be more hands-on or to have more of a role. But as I say, it wasn't the norm then. You know, I mean, we always presume that maybe a man or a woman was not happy with a role 20, 25 years ago. And this is an argument, not an argument that we should regress to that point. But, you know, it would have been even more difficult maybe to be seen. Like, I wonder 25 years ago if a guy was walking down the street with a pram, it probably would have even turned heads.
It's funny you mentioned that exact example because I used to teach social policy in Waterford Institute of Technology, and there was a large intake of men who would have been in their late 50s and 60s who would have entered the college via kind of redundancy programs in various factories down there. And what you just said is exactly what they would have said to me over and over again, that when they were my age, it was unheard of for a man to be seen pushing a buggy, and it would be seen as almost like unmanly or unmasculine. Yeah. And there is research that backs that view up, and more recent research than you'd imagine. There was research done by Hanlon in the last 10 years or so, where it was looking at kind of what facets and features are deemed by his sample of Irish men to be masculine and which aren't. And one of the big ones that was seen as being not manly was a caring attitude or looking after children and things like that. So that is changing, and it has changed massively. And that's a change for the good. Like, people usually refer to care, particularly care of children, as being a burden or a responsibility. But it's as much a benefit to people. It's a benefit for the men who carry out this care because it's enjoyable, it's enriching in their lives. It's also a benefit to their children. And there's a raft of literature which shows that these kind of closer relationships between fathers and their children at a young age are beneficial to them in the long run in the relationships as they grow older. And it's beneficial for the family relationship with the partner as well.
Yep. And I won't keep you much longer, Kenny, but obviously it's understandable that we're going to speak very much in an Irish context and as how Irish it is in this country and how things are progressing in inverted commas. And I'm not sure if this was caught in a sample of the other 16 countries, but In other areas of the world, you know, there's a pushback to the type of conversations we're having, that women's rights are being removed from them, or their life is becoming more difficult. It's not just women, of course, but just in the context of this survey we're talking about. So I suppose I shouldn't be asking all these questions in this bubble as if this is the only country in the world. Like, it's very different right across the world. I wonder if you had a chance to sort of see how that's reflected in this survey overall.
Well, the overall survey across the 17 countries, I think India was the only one where there wasn't kind of a noticeable move in the direction that we've spotted in the Irish study. So aside from that, it is moving in the same direction, broadly speaking, but it's still probably not moving quickly enough. Ireland, in most of these things, fits somewhere right in the middle. It's not the most progressive or regressive. But we're moving in the right direction. And I think in particular, figures around things like there's a question asked, boys should not be taught to sew, cook, clean, or take care of their siblings. And about 30% of men agreed with that, which means that the vast majority didn't agree with that. And that would show that the next generation are being taught the majority of the next generation are being taught.
And just
something.
Finally, in terms of who's likely to take part in a survey like this, Kenny, I mean, if you go on the internet, certain platforms and certain types of messaging service and what have you, there still is, you know, clear misogyny, you know, clear almost anger against women. I don't know, are those people going to take part in these sort of mainstream surveys? And if, you know, if they did, it would probably probably change them a little bit. So how do we make sure we're not just speaking to, you know, woke guys? If you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a very fair question. With this survey, what we did is we hired a data company. They were called Rep Data from the US. And I think they've hired an Irish polling company to do it. Now, when I was looking through the data sets, when you see a particular trend or a particular percentage of your sample are this type of person, I could always check these against larger data sets. So, for example, there was roughly about 1.4% of our sample were non-binary in gender terms, which is roughly about what that would be internationally. If we looked at things like the people who hit the markers that said they would be living in consistent poverty, that was around about the same as it would be according to the survey and income standards living. So the data that we gathered for this is very reliable, and I was able to test it in a few ways against much larger data sets in that way.
So. All right, okay, very interesting. Is it broadly available yet? Has it been released? Can people access it?
Yeah, the Irish survey, which I have here in my hand, is available on either the TRIOR website or the Men's Development Network. That's mensnetwork.ie. And the international one, if you just Google State of the World's Fathers, you'll be able to get the international survey.
All right, thanks for that. Interesting. Dr. Kenny Doyle, author of Research into Fatherhood, Caring and Gender Equality in Housework, which has been conducted by the Men's Development Network and TRIOR there, as we mentioned. 34 minutes away from kickoff, Ireland's opening game in the World Cup against Australia. Exciting scenes over there. We'll keep you updated, by the way, if you want to stay with us. We'll keep you updated of any scores or any major events in the game as we go on. Greg, I was so annoyed when this week there was a mention about hairdressers not being able to make money. On different occasions, I went to various hairdressers and was charged between 25 and 30 euro for a dry cut. This is a disgrace. So I can't understand why they're complaining about this. Well, maybe a hairdresser wants to come on and talk about this. But I mean, obviously, they have staff wages to pay. They have water rates to pay. They have electricity charges to pay, which are really quite high at the moment. They have rent to pay. They have commercial rates to pay. So with all of that in mind, I'm not sure if 25 to 30 is good or bad for a dry cut, as anyone who knows what I look like would know. I haven't a clue. It seems quite high. I don't know. Is that for woman's hair, men's hair? But anyway, as I say, there are a lot of overheads, no pun intended, in that business. So as I say, if someone in the industry wants to give us an insight, and also they're competing, I presume, to a great extent now, particularly post-COVID, with a lot of people that don't face many of those overheads but are able to do it from a garage or something close to home. All right, have we got some team news? Oisin Kelly, our sports editor, is going to hop back in and tell us what the story is. We're about, as I say, 33 minutes to kick off, and the Irish team, Oisin Kelly, has now been announced.
It has been announced, Greg, and the Irish have received a bit of a boost. If you're into women's football, Sam Kerr is a big name in Australia, and she has been ruled out of the game for the hosts against the Republic of Ireland.
She's a superstar of women's football.
She's one of the big guns for Australia. There's no doubt about it. So Ireland have been handed a boost there that she's not playing, but it's still going to be a tough task. No big surprises in the Irish starting team. The 11, as was predicted and thought to be, Courtney Brosnan's going to be in goals. Heather Payne, Niamh Fahin, Louise Quinn, Megan Connolly, Katie McCabe, Rashisa Littlejohn, Denise O'Sullivan as fitness starts. Sinead Farley, Marissa Shiva and Kyra Caruso are all in that starting 11 for Ireland. Amber Barrett and Kira Grant are both named among the Ireland subs.
All right, so we actually could see one or both of them at some point during the game.
It would be great, fantastic to see both of them play, but Amber will probably be sprung from the bench at some stage in the game. It depends how it goes. You just hope you go into the game, you don't concede early. Because the hosts will be up for it.
Well, that was my fear about the frustrating.
Because Ireland probably will go very much with the defensive tactic.
Yeah.
So they will. But if you concede early and you're playing that sort of way, then when you have to come back at that, it opens it up. And you're going to have that home crowd, which Breed mentioned earlier as well. There's a massive Australian crowd there.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Stadiums.
So 31 minutes to go. Two Donegal girls, Kira and Amber, named on the bench, Josh.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for that. Oisin Kelly is going to be on hand to come in and out as we need him. We're going to keep you updated with that game as this morning wears on, so you won't miss a thing if you stick with us here in the 9 till noon show. Boys, says this listener, I live in a house. My money is our money and her money is all hers. Beat that. Okay. What's mine is mine. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is my own. Greg, they have now finished the main road at Newtown Cunningham. When is the main street in Newtown Cunningham going to be done? Absolute disgrace. Only suitable for four-wheel drive vehicles at the minute. That comes in from Mary. Well, Mary, look, we can make an inquiry in relation to that. I've moved recently to live in Donegal. I tried to register with the medical practice in this area. They're telling me the book is closed for new patients, that they can't take me on. I've ongoing medical issues. I should be able to see a doctor at any time. The receptionist in that medical centre has told me to go to the doctors in Letterkenny, Raphoe or somewhere else. What is the healthcare system coming to? They mentioned the area. We're just going to double check with the GP practice as well, just to be fair, because it's a business that's easily identifiable. But we spoke to a couple that moved to Inishowen. I wondered, did they ever get sorted? And both of them had medical conditions that would require reasonably frequent visits to the GP, and they couldn't get into one on the whole peninsula, I seem to remember. G'day, Greg. I hope Ireland take inspiration from New Zealand after their 6th World Cup and 16th attempt to win a match via the might of Norway. They finally win one. I didn't know they were going in as underdogs, if I'm honest, Kevin. I was going to say, be careful of Samantha, as she'll have a few tricks up her sleeve, but not now, as she's out with a calf injury. Certainly gives pause for thought. Oh, would you stop it? We believe in Barrett. Hashtag kickass Katie. Hashtag Vera's Army. That comes in from our friend Kevin in Dunloe. A caller says, the only people to blame for the backlogs in ED and GPs is the government. They brought in so many people to a system which was already in crisis. Now, yesterday, they announced 200 houses were being given to citizens, which only arrived in the country. The majority of people that have moved to Donegal are young people. I'm not sure how much they're blocking up the ED and the GP. I've known people that were in the ED recently. It wasn't full of people that aren't from here. So, I mean, listen, you could be right. I don't know. The GPs are under pressure. There's just no doubt about that. And there is an obligation, I think, in some cases for a GP to take someone on, where, although in a different situation, there may not be. But as I say, I've been doing the show now consistently for 6 years, and it's all the same problems. Maybe they have got worse for the reasons that you outlined, but we need more services. In studio with me now is Deirdre McColgan, Quality Manager at ETB. Good morning to you, Deirdre. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me on the show.
Right, okay. So this September, Further Education and Training Services will begin offering access routes for 4 degrees courses in partnership with Galway, Roscommon, ETB, Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim ETB and Atlantic Technological University. So tell us a little bit more about this. This is significant, isn't it?
It is significant, Greg. Most importantly, it removes the points risk. As you know, the whole country moves to the CAO points every year and we worry about what's gone up and what's gone down. This is the very first step towards removing that points trap. We're offering 3 degree courses and 1 access route into nursing. And we think that they are really accessible programmes and that they'll also, you know, they're linked to employability areas where people get work if they decide to pursue them. We're looking specifically in the areas of business and science and engineering and an access route into nursing. So we're actually really excited about it.
So to some extent, you've already described what a tertiary degree is, but tell us why they're seen as such an important development in an area like the Northwest, for an example.
I think one of the most important things about the tertiary degrees is it's the very first time that higher education and further education are totally working together. We're very unified. We've been working for years to give pathways to people, but they still had to compete for entry. This time, you're actually beginning your undergraduate degree for 3 of the programmes within further education and training and then seamlessly progressing into higher education.
So tell me, how then does that... how does that exclude the race for the CAO points, and why is that an advantage?
Well, CAO points are really determined by places available. They don't necessarily reflect the academic nature of the course. It just could be that it's a popular course and loads of people are going for it. When you remove that kind of CAO points, people who have, you know, good, fair leaving certs, but are just maybe a few points short and not getting where they want to go, or adults for whom third level was never going to be an opportunity. Maybe there wasn't finance in the house. Maybe they just never got the opportunity. The other thing is, Greg, the person you are at 28 is not the person you are at 18. So you see the world differently when you get a wee bit of maturity. So what this does is say, look, if it wasn't for you the first time, you can still go now.
We have an imbalance in this country and in the Northwest. We have fewer people going on to third level for many reasons. An underspend per head per student, probably not helpful. There are other areas too that, that need attention. To some extent, do you hope that this might address that imbalance?
We think that it most definitely will. And one of the reasons, if you think about some of the progression routes, what we're saying is, if you wanted to do a degree in engineering, say industrial manufacturing, that realistically is a 4-year degree, but you could do the first 2 years of that degree in Donegal, and then you can move on to Sligo or Galway. Now, that's 2 years less of accommodation, 2 years less of a financial burden on a family, so you could actually begin it here. Or if your interest, for example, was in computing, you can do your whole degree here and have a world-class qualification to get work.
How many places are available? Do you think there'll be more people interested in these courses than spaces available?
Well, it would be wonderful to be sitting in that situation. We're not sure at the minute. We think we will most definitely have a lot of interest for the nursing. We're hoping that we'll have a good and fair interest in the other three programmes. We have 28 places approximately for each programme.
So how do people get more information? And this is not the end of the interview. I want to dig into it a little bit more, but I'm going to mention it now and then ask you at the end again, because, you know, people will be waiting for that. So talk to me about who can apply, what they need to apply, where they might get more information.
Anyone can apply from 17 to 77 or older, if you want to apply, put your hat in the ring. One of the best ways to get more information is at www.atu.ie/tertiary degrees. You can have a wee look on there. You can look, you'll see all three ETB options there. We're hoping you're going to click on Donegal and have a look at what we have. You can also ring the guidance service on 07491 78088, and Samantha there will be able to talk you through your options as well.
Now, this is a benefit, obviously, we'd hope to students and give people an option, a pathway, but it's good for the region too. It's good for the county and region. Tell us why that is.
Well, I think if you look, the degree programmes, each of the three undergraduate programmes, they have different splits. So you do a common first 2 years in engineering, you do a common first 2 years in business, and a common first 2 years in science. But then in the final year or 2 years, you're specialising. And each region within the ATU has chosen a specialism that they think will really lift and boost employment opportunities for their specific region. So for engineering, it's computing in Donegal. It's biochemistry and science, and it's innovation and entrepreneurship for Donegal, because at the end of the day, the one thing I know about Donegal people is they'll just get up and they'll get on with it, and they'll look for an idea and they'll run with it.
So you kind of also too at the same time looking for local employment opportunities or local supports, be it Leo or something like that there. Does that factor in as you know, because you want people to have options? We don't necessarily want, it's up to people what they do once qualified to travel away, but I presume ideally, you know, and this is not necessarily what the ETB wants, but we as a society want, is because that might be an overreach from the ETB, but if people can train, educate and then go on to work here, all the better.
That's exactly what we want. And even if people do go away for a number of years and they come back, they bring that expertise with them as well. But what we're saying is, look, let's look at the skills shortages in this area. Let's look at, we also, as part of developing these degrees, we had to be able to put a case forward to say, look, we haven't just considered this out of nowhere. We believe that there is an academic and an employability option in terms of these offerings.
So talk to me a little bit then about how, you know, I'm hearing you say bachelors and undergraduates and qualifications and 2 years and two. So can we explain that? Because I've never heard it ever actually explained, and it's not your fault, but I think with people like me, there's this presumption that everyone knows exactly what we're talking about, right? Yeah. So you're sitting there, 25, decent leaving cert, never went to third level. Now you are saying, okay, and we'll go through these areas if you don't mind afterwards again. But now you say, Reggie, you know what? I wouldn't mind a Bachelor of Science, Honours in Sustainable Engineering Technologies, NFQ Level 8 qualification. So your starting point is you've got your leaving cert. It's of a certain standard. So then you're studying year one, year two for what? Just the phraseology we use. I just want everyone to fully understand what we'd be talking about.
Well, I suppose every element and every aspect of education in the Republic of Ireland maps onto a framework.
Right.
So whenever we talk about an NFQ, that's a national framework.
Yep.
And it goes from one to 10. So if you think about anything from level 1 to level 5 will incorporate the national school learning and second level learning up to leaving certificate, and you will find qualifications like post-leaving certificate at a QQA or NFQ level 5. So that just means...
I am understanding this now. Keep going.
1 to
I'm
10.
Learning. Yes.
When you've exited after your leaving cert, if you've done a really good honours leaving cert, if you've done a post-leaving certificate, you're up there about a level 5.
Yeah.
If you've done a past level leaving cert or you've undertaken an LCE, you're probably in there around a level 4. So then what we do then is we look forward, and levels 6 to 10 would really, a bit of it comes into further education, but the majority of it goes into the higher education sphere. And what we're doing in tertiary education is saying, listen, there's no need to distinguish between the 6 and the 10. It's all a tertiary education, meaning third part. So it's just a third part of your education journey. And an honours level degree, if you're looking at jobs and you're looking at qualifications and stuff, quite often people will look for an honours. And it's just the way that we break it up is a level 6, we have a higher certificate. So an NFQ level 6 is a higher certificate. A level 7 is an ordinary certificate. And a level 8 is an honours certificate. And it just really reflects the amount of research, the amount of time that you've spent studying your subject, and maybe how specialised you've gone.
And then employers will actively, dependent on what the skill sets they require, will have an understanding of that, and then that appears in adverts. And it all begins to make sense. Yeah. Right, so the Bachelor of Science in Industrial Laboratory Science. So what... kind of work one might one do if successful over the last 3 or 4 years of that?
Okay, so you're probably going to work for, you know, well, there's a range of work available. Some people will work with and maybe even go into the food industry and look at food production and things like that. Other people, biochemistry, will go on to maybe working with chemical companies or the big biopharma companies that we have around the area. And it's actually, if you notice that one, Greg, that's an NFQ level 7, which means it doesn't go up to the honours level. But that option is there to add that, that, you know, if you're there and you're enjoying it at college. But that's because employers are saying to us, look, when your graduates are suitably qualified to level 7, they have everything that we need to get going.
Yep.
So that's why we kind of left that at the 7, and people can top that up then if they wish.
Okay, so Bachelor of Business in Business, this is NFQ level 8.
Yes.
So what kind of work might one get from that?
Well, depending on your option, in terms of entrepreneurship and innovation, you're looking at places like, you know, the ATU campus there where they've all the wee businesses in the hub and they're blossoming, the Colab. Mm. Sorry, it left
that's
me
okay.
there, Greg.
That's
thank
what I'm
you.
Here for.
So that would be a perfect idea. There. You also have your bigger companies who will be there to take you on. In the Sligo stream, you've supply chain management. So if you look at any of the big industries that we have around, they all have logistics going in and out.
Yep.
They're all talking
kind
about Brexit.
Kind of future-proof stuff, this.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Dealing with customs. And the last one then is digital business, which gives you a global reach.
Bachelor of Science in Sustainable Engineering Technologies, NFQ Level 8.
Yeah. Now, the Donegal stream there, we have gone for computing because we think that really reflects the fintech kind of energy that we have in the Donegal area. Whereas if you are looking at the Sligo and Galway options, they're industrial engineering. So you're looking at the bigger companies that they have there, the big pharmaceutical companies. And even somebody from Donegal who was interested in it, that industrial element could take you into one of the manufacturing companies here, one of the big engineering companies.
Yeah, and you'd be presumably starting at a higher grade rather than, you know, of income rather than sort of maybe just the start off.
Yeah.
And perhaps the one of the more accessible, and as you mentioned, perhaps the most popular, is Tertiary Access Route into Bachelor of Science Honours in General Nursing. This is NFQ Level 5.
Yes.
So what kind of work might come from that? Or
you're going to be a registered general nurse at the end of it.
Okay.
The one thing to remember about this one is it's a 5-year. You're signing on for 5 years for this one, Greg. And that's really just, it represents the fact that so many people are applying for nursing. And as I said earlier, it's more about the competition for places that's pushing the points up. And what we're doing is we're saying, look, young people then that don't get it, they might consider a post-leaving certificate course ordinarily. And they may apply then for nursing, but there may be only 4 places under the PLC route in the college, and they're applying with the rest of the country. This tertiary access route, once you've completed that year successfully, and there are mile markers that you have to meet, once you've completed that successfully, there are 20 people automatically getting straight into general nursing. And it's really important to say, look, this is an addition to what's existing. It's not replacing anything. So it's an additional pathway.
This is another pipeline of stuff. Okay. So just remind us on how people get more information.
Okay. So it's www.atu.ie/tertiary degrees.
Yeah.
Or you can give us a ring at the guidance service on 074-91-78088.
And hopefully, you know, some people have already been looking at it, but hopefully others have been inspired to say, do you know what? This is something I could do. This is for me now.
Well, why not ask and find out more? And if you know, if it's not the right time for you in conversation, you may discover it's the right time for somebody else.
All right, okay. Is there anything, Deirdre, that we've missed that you want to add? Are you happy enough?
No, that was great. Thank you
very much. All right, no, thank you so much for calling in. Okay, Deirdre McColgan, who's quality manager at Donegal ETB, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, we'll be back with more shortly. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Hannah. Hannah, thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, what is your situation, Hannah? And I suppose we hope that maybe someone out there might be able to help you. But tell us your story.
I'd be so grateful for any help and advice. So I've lived in Ireland for about 7 years. Paid into the service and never used, you know, the taxes, never used the HSC for anything in all that time. And I've been in Donegal now for a year. And during that time, the perimenopause has joined my life, and it entered my life long ago. But I've been managing it myself. I've waited and waited and waited, and I'm now at the point that I can't manage it myself, and I need some medical care. So I've reached out and tried to get registered at a GP practice, and I've been turned away at every door that I've called upon. Mm. Maximum capacity is what I'm being told. I've been told to go to A&E. If it's an issue, and I refuse to put that on A&E. It's not an emergency. Even the way I'm feeling, it's still not an emergency. And when I'm saying to these practices, what do you think I should do? What's your advice? Because I've had 10 rejections now, so what do you advise? None of them can answer the question.
Mm.
So I have a telephone service at work with the GP. I spoke to them, and he said, this is really urgent. You need to get in front of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I'm trying. So they said that they could look at private clinics for me, private GPs. Fine. Nobody in Donegal. And they won't refer me to a GP that's out of the jurisdiction. So that door was closed.
All right. Well, there is a private service in Letterkenny. Have you contacted them?
I have. I've called them. No response whatsoever. I've been calling. I've got a list of numbers that I try continuously. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hearing back from anybody. And that's Kingsbridge. I've even tried Sligo. I've reached out to Derry Hospital to see if they can support me. They've got a 2-year waiting list, I'm told, so that's not possible. Today, I have had an email back from a service in Belfast. £225 for a 15-minute appointment.
But I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit more, Hannah. But it must be really scary, and you must feel really, really lonely. You know what's happening with your body. You know you've been told you need to get in front of a GP for care. This is supposed to be a very wealthy first world country. This is really, really worrying.
It's frightening, and there are times, and it is isolating, it is lonely, and I'm a well-being coach, so there's a lot of things I can do for myself. You know, I'm a yoga instructor, so it's not even like somebody can say, well, try helping yourself before you reach out to us, because, you know, this has been a year to get me to this point for me to ask for help, and it is incredibly frightening. You know, I've got a heart condition that's unmedicated. I deal with that myself as well. But I guess my fear is if I can't get in front of somebody for the perimenopause, what happens if this heart condition one day decides to get worse?
Mm.
What's going to be my situation then? Is it just an A&E appointment and hope for the best? I don't know.
You're quite right, and you recognise we can't use emergency acute hospital care as a replacement for general practice care, because, you know, that's what you need. So to be clear then, you've tried... Before you started going down the private route, you rang a number of GPs in a particular area around the county, because it sounds to me like, Hannah, at this point you're prepared to travel. So you've rang numerous GP surgeries, I take it.
I've rung 10.
Right.
10.
And in and around the one around, area, is it?
All in around everywhere. I've literally said I will travel. I'm happy to travel down to Sligo. I'm happy to go to Dublin. I even rung some GPs. I used to live down in Dublin, And I rang some down there and they said they couldn't take me because they were at my jurisdiction. I completely respect that because, you know, they have their maximum capacity as well. Mm. But I genuinely am at a point of there's nothing you can get over the counter. You know, I've got a private medical that I have every year. I pay for it with a separate company, but they don't have tests that cover the perimenopause, so they can't even support me with that. And it's literally a case that I think Google has had every question from me, and even it doesn't know how to respond at this stage. So if anybody's got any advice,
can I ask what general area you're in, if you don't mind? I think I probably could guess.
Yeah, Bridge End.
Right, okay. That's exactly what I suspected, because we had an issue in the past with an older couple who had moved to the northern area of Donegal, let's say Inishowen, and they were really worried. I don't know how they got on, but they couldn't get access to a GP either. I think there's an obligation if you're on a medical card for GPs to take you on. That's my understanding. I'm open to correction on that. But this is now, as I say, we'll throw it out there to see what our listeners think, what suggestions they might have for you. Maybe even there's a kind-hearted GP listening to us that might be able to accommodate you. I don't think you're going to be beaten a path to the door. You just need a consultation, some advice, you know, every other day. Like, I think you sound to me like you're big into self-care, and you won't be going down that route unless absolutely necessary.
Exactly. And I've been because they were saying no on the phone, I've actually taken time out of work and gone face to face to plead with them, because I think, you know, I don't want people to think, oh, she just, you know, this is going to be a long term care thing. She's going to be at her door every 5 minutes. It's not, you know, I don't even want medication to a huge extent. I need somebody to say this is normal or this isn't normal and this is the help that we can give you. So, I, you know, I'm not going to be a burden to any surgery that I'm going to be taking up your time on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, but I mean, thankfully, I mean, obviously you mentioned perimenopause, you mentioned your heart condition that you're aware of, but we never know what pops up that, again, is not an emergency. But, you know, I must check this out with the GP, because we're being told, check with your GP, don't come to the ED, check with your GP, and that type of thing. I mean, is it a case that you ring now, Doc? And try and get a nighttime appointment? I don't know if you can do that without your... You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're at that point now. What do you do? Right, let us throw it out there. As I say, there are private practices that they say in their adverts that you don't need an appointment, that can see you really quickly. I'm not sure if you've contacted them or had the right number, Hannah.
I have
to say that, because that is probably an identifiable business, and there could be other reasons, and we'll have to check that out ourselves as well. But we'll throw it out there to the listeners, Hannah, and see if anyone has any advice for you. You're in South Inishowen. You've rang GPs all over the county. You are prepared to travel. No GP will take you on. They all say they're full to capacity, and you want to get in front of them and discuss your perimenopause. And you've been advised by another medical professional that that's in fact exactly what you should be doing. So I think that's it in a nutshell. A caller says Ballykelly will sort you out, and also that Letterkenny Medics Private Clinic, no appointment, you just go. So I'm not sure if it's the Letterkenny Medics Private Clinic. We spoke to them on this program. Apparently, you don't need an appointment. You just turn up.
Ah, okay. So they are one. The other thing I must say is that there's this, I think this is just to finish off with this, it's a bigger concern, I think, because if the Letterkenny, I think if this is the right practice, and again,
but we have to be, we have to be really careful with that, Hannah, because I don't want to do any reputation, because we're not really sure. We're both talking about the same place, and I appreciate if we weren't on the radio, I'd chat all day to you about it in that regard. But it's just in case, as I say, you know, they do state you don't need an appointment, you can just roll up and get seen there. Sounds to me probably like your best option. But we'll pursue that a little more off air, see if it matches with you and what you need. And hopefully maybe we can find that solution there, Hannah, because I think anyone listening understands your situation and people are now texting and saying they have the same problem with dentists and what have you. They can't get to see a dentist. But anyway. All right, Hannah, leave it with us, okay? I do hope there's a resolution really soon, and we'll make a few calls to check on some of the places we've mentioned, Hannah, to see if they can accommodate you, okay?
Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
You too, Hannah. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.